So we start a new book. Although this book is unlike the other books, but Sefer Devarim is a retrospective. And it's called by Chazal Mishneh Torah. And Mishneh Torah would indicate that it's a repetition of the Torah. Generally, people understand that as terms of a repetition in terms of the law. And we're not going to discuss any law this week because there's no laws, as far as I can tell, in this week's Parsha. What it is, on the other hand, at least this week, Parsha Devarim, as opposed to Sefer Devarim, Parsha Devarim is a retrospective in terms of narrative. It tells over stories which we've heard about, stories which we're familiar with. That's where it's interesting. And this is something which we've discussed before. It's always interesting when we read verses, we read psukim, and we read commentaries. But on the other hand, to get the commentary of Moshe of what happened is also quite interesting. So let's just start and recognize the following. Moshe is giving a speech. The reason why this is part of the Torah is that towards the end of this speech, God says, write down your speech and put this inside the Torah as well. But this begins not as, and God said to Moshe saying, but rather as Moshe speaking and saying things at the very end, God says to Moshe, record this. So therefore, Moshe's perspective, Moshe receives, again, all kinds of inside information that we did not know of. So in a certain sense, I would even call this Moshe's memoirs, but it's more than that. So what is going to interest me right now as Moshe starts the speech is, where do you begin? What do you include? What don't you include? And I'm going to do something which is going to be only slightly unfair, and that is I'm only going to consider what's in Parshat Devarim, what's in this week's Parsha, as opposed to the entire speech. So when I say the things that aren't here, it could be that we'll find them next week or the week afterwards or after that. But what I'm far more interested in is where Moshe begins and where he goes. Because we understand that there's all kinds of things that he could have said, could have done, could have repeated, could have given us insight. Although we're not, as far as I can tell, really the audience. Really the audience is the people that he's speaking to. So let's begin. Eila ha-devarim, asher diber Moshe, al kol Yisrael, ba-eva yarden ba-midbar, ba-arava mul suf bein paran, bein tofel, ve-levan chatzerot v'di zahav. Now, even though this is part of Moshe's speech, this part of the introduction is really something which I would presume is what God says in the retrospective to Moshe to write down, where he dictates the perspective, because this is an editorial comment. You also have the word Devarim, the word Diber, the word Midbar, so you can argue if it's the same root or not, but it comes up multiple times in that one verse, and this is going to be a book of talking, a book of words. As opposed to events transpiring, this is a book of Devarim, this is a book of words being used. Again, Eila Devarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. These are things that Moshe said to the entire people. Be'ever HaYarden. So Be'ever HaYarden is really all we needed to know. Be'ever HaYarden is the other side of the Jordan River, which means we know exactly where it is. But by the way, that also tells us when it is. This is when Moshe is paused to go, or the people are paused to go in. Moshe is going to stay behind. It's the other side of the Jordan. But it gives a little bit more perspective by Midbar. Ba'arava, Mulsuf, Bein Paran, Bein Tofel, V'Levan Chatzerot V'Di Zahav. Now it just added all kinds of other places, and yes, we can continue from last week and take out our maps and look what just now happened, but he just now sort of went backwards from where we are and sort of remember the whole path that we took, although where does it take us to? Acharas, that's the next verse. Acharas ayom michorev derech har seir ad kadesh barnea. It was a period of travel which should take 11 days from Chorev to Kadesh Barnea. Now, what happened in Kadesh Barnea? That's where the spies were sent. So I'm going to make this really simple right now. The focus over here only will go as far back at this point as leaving Har Sinai. Leaving Har Sinai is our starting point. Now, I'll say it again. It could be if Moshe wants to tell the whole story again, you would tell the story from the day that he was born. You would go through Sefer Shemot. You would go tell the story of when he's born. You would tell the story of how he was brought up. You would tell the story of how there was the hand of God all along the way and how he came back and how the Jews left Egypt. You may talk about the traveling from Egypt to Sinai. So all that I'm pointing out is that there is a whole bunch of information that we're aware of, but we're not told right now. But rather the starting point is where we are, then by mentioning places, taking us geographically and in terms of our memory, taking us backward, but leading to a particular place, and that particular place is, again, Har Sinai. Achadas Aryom Mechorev Derech Har Seir Ad Kadesh Barnea, which not only did it take us to Sinai, but it just now linked two things. It led us from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Those of us who don't remember, Kadesh Barnea is where the spies were sent from. So even though all we just now have received was geographical locations, those geographical locations were quite interesting in terms of, again, what's said and what's not said. So our starting point, again, is where we are, going backward to leaving Har Sinai. Continue. V'yihi ba'arbim shana b'shteyasar chodesh be'achad l'chodesh, and now it gives us a time frame. The time frame is Aaron had died Rosh Chodesh Av, that same year, in the 40th year, Ba'ashteyasar Chodesh Be'achad LaChodesh. It is on the 11th month, the first day of the month, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, in the 40th year, which means that, according to the tradition, that Moshe dies on Zayin Adar, that means that Moshe now has 37 days left to live. Is, again, we know that, because we know how the book ends, and again, then that's tradition, but that's where we're starting from. We're starting from 37 days before Moshe dies is when the speech begins. Diber Moshe el bnei Yisrael kechol asher tziva Hashem oto aleihem. And now we're given another piece of information. This speech that he gives is kechol asher tziva Hashem oto, which means that not only does God tell him to write it, this also seems to be that God tells, not seems, it says that God tells him what to say as well. So again, when we question the Sefer Devarim, these are words which Moshe uses based upon God, and God says to write it, but God also said to speak it. So just notice that all of that is over here in our introduction. And now it gives a little more perspective. Acharei hakato et Sichon melech ha'omari, ashe yoshev b'cheshbon, v'et og melech ha'bashan, ashe yoshev b'ashtarot b'ederi, be'eva yardein, be'eretz moav, which is interesting because it already told us this. So again, it's giving us an exact time frame of when this takes place. After the battles, we're poised to enter into the land of Israel, on the other side of the Yardin. Hoel Moshe bi'er et haTorah hazot lemor. Moshe explained the Torah, saying. Now, this is the reason why people would say, oh, he's explaining the Torah, so therefore explaining the Torah means the major focus is going to be on the commandments. But on the other hand, is that really the case? Is it really the case that the focus is on the commandments? And I'll say it again, the first and the second and the third chapters do not give us any hint of any commandments. Pasuk Vav. Hashem Elokeinu Diber Eleinu B'Chorev Lemor. Now, once again, it goes back to where it's going to start the speech from, and where is it? Chorev. Now, a lot of things happened at Chorev. If I want to review things that happened on Chorev, what would you say is the most momentous thing which happened at Chorev? Aseret HaDibrot. Now, again, I don't want to mislead you. The Aseret HaDibrot will be mentioned again, but not now. This is not the starting point. The starting point of the speech is, and again, Hashem Elokeinu Diber Eleinu B'Chorev Lemor Rav Lecham Shevet Bahar Hazeh. You've overstayed your welcome. I'm being not nice. Time to go. Right? What would some of us like to say to our guests? Okay, you've been here a while. Not you. Don't worry. pointing to the door. Now, again, all that I'm pointing at is those were the first words of Sefer Devarim. Everything else was location and time, but the first words and authority. Location, time, and authority is everything till this point. But the starting point of the speech is, God said by Chorev, Rav Lechem Shevet Bahar Hazeh. So I'm just, again, pointing out, that's a very interesting way of starting. That's the starting point. Continue. Pnu Esu Lechem Bo Uvo Har Emori, Ve'el Kol Shkanav Barava Bahar Shvila, V'negu V'chor Hayam, Eretz Akraniv, L'Avonon Al Nar HaGadol Prad, which is basically spreading out for them what is the land they're going to receive. Re'ein Atat L'Vzachaychem Et Ha'aretz, Bo Rishu At Ha'aretz, Asher Nishba Hashem L'Avotechem, L'Avin Tzikul Yaakov, L'Tet Lem L'Zar'am Acharehem. So it's giving us a second point, which is interesting. So what is supposed to happen after we leave Har Sinai? Only one thing's supposed to happen. Go directly to Eretz Yisrael, take the land, which God has promised, and everyone lives happily ever after. So now, all of you who happen to have read this book before, or seen the movie, and know how this works out, so you know that there's going to be a little bit of a detour. And the detour is going to take 38 years. Actually, the detour is a little longer, if you notice what he just now said. Rav Lechem Shevet Harzeh, you've been staying here too long, which means the detour already began. You should have left here earlier. There's a very strong musar in that. You're here too long. You want to hear it again? Rav Lechem Shevet Bahar Hazeh. You can go searching through the Torah and you can look where it uses the phrase Rav Lechem. It's not such a good reference. Rav Lechem is going to be used by Korach. It's going to be used back by Moshe towards the whole Korach entourage. Rav Lechem, you've gone too far, you've done too much. It's not a great phrase. Rav Lechem Shevet Bahar Hazeh, you've spent too much time here. Now, of course, the easy way out is always to blame God and says, well, the cloud didn't lift until now. But we realize that between the lines, there are other things that took place over here. So again, just to make it perfectly clear what had taken place, had the sin of the golden calf not taken place, they would have left Sinai much earlier. Because of the sin of the golden calf, instead of Moshe, God speaking, Moshe going up, 40 days later, Moshe comes down and they all march into the land of Israel. Right? Which means if Moshe comes down on Shavasa B'Tamuz, just theoretically, it could have taken them 11 days from Kadesh Barnea, from Sinai, I don't know how much longer it should have taken them to march into the land of Israel. You want to say 3 weeks? So Tisha B'Av, they walk into the land of Israel and they celebrate the conquest of the land, which means that should have all happened then. But instead what's happening is Moshe is now praying for the survival of the Jewish people during the subsequent 40 days or the subsequent 80 days. And I'll say it again, things don't work out the way they're supposed to. But over here it's interesting because the Chet Egel is not referenced as such, but rather it's between the lines over here. You spend too much time over here, and hopefully everybody listening understands exactly why they spend too much time over here. But the Chet Egel is not going to be mentioned again, right now. Please, no one misunderstand me. I'm not dealing today with the entire speech of Sefer Devarim or perhaps even the series of speeches. I'm dealing with the starting point, and the starting point as long as it goes in this week's parsha. And over here where Moshe begins, by the way, you've noticed it twice already. It was also in terms of location, it started by Choret, right? That was a couple of verses before. And now again, the speech begins, you know, you spent a little much time there. And rather go and conquer the land. And that takes us up to Pasuk Tet. So everything till now has been what I would call the first five verses were a preamble telling us where, when, authority. Sukkim verses 6 through 8 tell us about leaving Sinai, right? The whole story of the Exodus, Egypt, splitting of the sea, plagues, all of no concern to us right now. But rather, the starting point is very, very focused, leaving Egypt. I'm going to skip right now verses 9 through 18. Verses 9 through 18 are going to be, and it's a long skip, and I apologize for that. It's going to be about Moshe needing help. Skip that for a moment. We're going to come back and hopefully spend most of our time on that. Pasuk Yutet takes us exactly where we were just now up to before I skipped. V'nisa mechorev. We left Chorev. Which means if the focus was leaving Chorev, so over here is when we leave Chorev. V'nisa mechorev v'nilech et kol ha-midbar ha-gadol v'narahu, asher ra'itam derech ha-remori, kasher tziva Hashem Elokeinu otanu, v'novo ad kadesh barnea. So I'll say it again. This was already referenced in verse number 2 in Pasuk Bet, achad esor yom echorev derech har-si'ir ad kadesh barnea. So now we've gotten back in Pasuk Yutet to where we were in Pasuk Bet, and it starts to tell the story. Now what story is going to be told here? So what was the reason you leave Har Sinai? The reason you leave Har Sinai is to go and to conquest the land of Israel. So what does Moshe say? We got to Kadesh Barnea, and what did I say? Okay, let's go. It's time to go. Time to capture the land. Pasukov bet, and this will now be the topic till the end of the chapter. V'tikravun alai kulchem v'tomu nishlacha anashim lefaneinu. In order to facilitate the entering the land, you made a request that we send some scouts, advanced scouts, to check out the way, to check out the terrain, in order to understand exactly what the best way to accomplish our agenda is. And Kof Gimel, again, blaming the people for having the initiative. I thought it was also a good idea. And therefore we chose 12 people. And so on. By the way, this part of the story of the spies, those of you who don't remember, is not the way that it's told in Shlach. All that's told in Shlach, and God said, send people. Shlach lacha anashim. Send people. Lacha is interesting. Shlach anashim, it should have said, send people. Shlach lacha anashim. Send people for you. So Rashi, who weaves together the two stories, says, okay, it starts as a grassroots. People have the idea. People approach Moshe. Moshe thinks it's a good idea. Moshe says to God. And what does God say? Okay, send people if you want to send people. Shlach lecha anashim. Now, you would say God should protect us when we're about to do silly things and say, don't do it. But God says, okay, you want to do it, go ahead and do it. And I'll say it again, the rest of the chapter now is going to be about the story of the spies, including, you know, how this works out terribly, how eventually Moshe is going to be replaced because of this, how the whole generation is going to die out because of this, Yeshua is the one who's going to take over, Kalev was the good guy, and the rest. And so therefore, I would almost say, and now you'll see the hesitation, I would almost say that if someone then say, okay, so what's the first chapter about? So say, well, the first chapter is about how they're supposed to conquer the land, and they made a strategic error along the way. The strategic error was to send the spies, and therefore the whole conquest didn't work out, at least initially, and they end up spending an extra 38 years in the desert. So really, what is this about? So the easy way out is to say, well, the first chapter is really about the sin of the spies. And the reason why we would say that is because the sin of the spies is an enormous sin. It has enormous consequences. And therefore, that's what this chapter is about. But again, in order to do that, I did have to skip a couple of things. Now, I will say it again. The focus in the first chapter is leaving Sinai. To repeat myself, leaving Sinai was supposed to take us to the land of Israel. It takes us as far as Kadesh Barnea. We studied the map last week to see how we went north and south and north and south and north and south and understanding what exactly took place and how at the end we have an end around. Anyway, Moshe's here at the end and saying, well, let's look at, now we're talking to the new generation, let's take a look what happened. And he tells over the stories of the spies. But of course, what did I need to do in order to focus it that way? I need to skip a little bit. So it's the part that I skipped, which I want to focus on, because I think that there are some things over there which need to be understood. I wouldn't want to say it's nowhere in Pshat, because the word lecha is what Rashi is going on. Because it could have said, shlach anashim. God could have said, please send some people. Shlach lecha, or send people for you. Shlach lecha anashim is what's interesting, and the lecha is unnecessary. That's what Rashi is going on. Is Rashi agenda-driven? Of course he is, because he wants the two narratives to mesh together to complement one another. Which, by the way, is what we're going to be doing today, but not in terms of that particular narrative. So let's now go back. So where did we skip from? Pasuk Tet. Pasuk Tet reads, now where were we up to? We're about to leave. We're about to leave the mountain. You've spent too much time over here. Go and conquer the land. Go and take the land. Okay, so we're good. That's exactly what we're up to. Right? That was Pasuk Tet. In front of you is this whole land. And then Pasuk Tet is, what is, and here's what's interesting. Va'amar aleichem ba'etahi lemor. And I said to you at that particular time, saying, Lo chal levadil seitetchem, I can't do this. Now, what is that referring to? So the easy answer is to go down to source number 2 and look at Pasuk Yud Dalet, where Moshe says, Lo uchal anochi levadil seitet et kol ha'am hazeh. Right? That's pretty close. It's, by the way, it's as good as you're going to get. because that's the only time Moshe makes a statement like this. So that, therefore, now if you want to look at what the larger context is Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, it begins with the Asaf Suf and the Asaf Suf, the rabble. We like rabble, the Asaf Suf. And then it continues on to the people having this Ta'ava, Vishma Moshe Ta'am Bochel Mishpotav, Vish Lefetach Olo, Vichar Shema Ovri Moshe Ra. And Moshe goes, where am I supposed to find meat to give these people? And what's the matter? Am I their mother? Did I give birth to them? Pasuk Yud Bet, Anochi Hariti Et Kol HaAm Hazeh? Did I give birth to them? Anochi Yilditihu? Ki Tomar Lai Sa'ehu Bechekecha Kashe Yisah Omen. The way that, what's an Omen? Nurse. Yeah, it's nursing mother. Anybody who wants to work on a Dvar Torah, you can work on the word Omen here in terms of a nurse. Yadei Moshe Emunah. During the battle against Amalek, like Moshe's hands were, and then when he hits the rock, we're told, "Begal shelo hemantim bi," because you did not have emuna. So the question is, what those three episodes, this omein emuna and emuna, have to do with one another? But that's your homework for your Dvar Torah. I'm sure it would be quite interesting. Did I already give you the Dvar Torah just now or no? I did the heavy lifting. Okay. So Moshe says, "I can't do it." Moshe, did I give birth to them? Does Moshe say, "Am I their mother?" Right? Am I their nurse? Am I the one who's supposed to take care of them? And what's God's answer? Yes. Yes, 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 and yes. And again, it's there that Moshe says, and they're too hard. So now this takes place in Parshat Bahalotcha. Bahalotcha is when things begin to unravel. By the way, what else happens in Parshat Bahalotcha? Something really really significant took place in Parshat Bahalotcha. Right beforehand, the cloud lifts and they travel. That's the end of Perek Yud, when they leave Har Sinai. This is the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, when this whole complaint, they leave Har Sinai, and then they start complaining. So this seems to be exactly what it's referring to. Now, what was God's response to Moshe over here? God's response, I can't do this by myself. So what's God's response? Okay, we'll get you some backup. And the backup is then described. You do not have this in front of you, but I'm sure you'll remember it. V'yomar Shem Moshe, this is later on, Pasuk Tet Zayin, Esfali Shivim Ish Mizaknei Yisrael, gather 70 elders. So the response is going to be the 70 elders plus Moshe. This is going to be the beginning of what will later be known as the elders, or the Sanhedrin. This will be the central leadership. What type of leadership are they? I guess the judicial, also legislative. So therefore, Moshe, not everything is on you by yourself. You're going to have other people over here. And how are these people chosen? L'kachtem otam el o'amoed, v'etzu sham imach, v'yaradati v'dibarti imcha sham, v'itzalti min haruach sherlecha, v'samti aleim, v'nasu itcha b'masa ha'am, v'lo tisata levadecha. We're going to give them a little bit of the Holy Spirit, a little bit of Ruach HaKodesh. You're going to share your Ruach HaKodesh, and all of them will, it sounds like they'll be able to prophesize. Whether it was continual or it stops after they're chosen is not clear, but these are the 70 elders that were familiar with the story. So therefore, the complaint is that I can't do this by myself, and then the answer is, fine, I'll get you backup. No problem. Now, the only problem is we're still in Pasuk Tet, so now let's read Pasuk Yud. Hashem Elokeichem Hibartchem, V'nechem Ayom Chachveshemayim Lerov. That God increased your numbers, and now there's so many of you, which, by the way, is part of the bracha to Avram. You're going to make them like, you're going to make you numerous like the stars, and I don't know if Moshe's complaining or he's happy about this. But he then says, Hashem Elokei Avotechem Yosif Aleichem Kochem Elef Pamim. So what do you now realize? He is happy. And let the numbers of Israel increase thousands of times. V'vorechatchem Kasher Diber Lachem. And let you get all the blessings that God had promised. But, Pasuk Yud Bet, Eicha Salav Adi, but how can I do this by myself? Tarachachem u'maschem v'rivchem. What's tarachachem? Tarach, what does that mean? Toil ma'asachem. When I say burden v'rivchem and your quarrels. Now, Pasuk Yud Gimel is interesting because I'm not sure if we remember this or not, if our mind is going to start playing tricks on us. Havu lachem anashim chachamim u'novim v'duim l'shevteichem. Bring over men who are wise, have understanding, are known in the tribes, and I'll put them in charge. And you respond, well, that's a good idea. And we took people, and then we got these leaders of thousands of hundreds, leaders of fifties and tens and so on, and all these leaders are there. And I said to the judges at that time, saying, Shomea ben achechem, ushaftetem, ushifatetem, tzedek ben ish uvein achiv, uvein gero. And your job will be to adjudicate between man and his brother, man and the stranger, and so on. Lo takiru panim b'mishpat kekatan kedol tishma'un. Don't play favorites. Lo tagrum b'nei ish ki mishpat l'lokim hu. Don't bend to any person because judgment belongs to God. V'hadavar sheyikshamikem takravun elai ushmativ. And the difficult things bring over to me, and I'll hear it. V'tzavetchem be'etahi et kol dvar masher tasun, and I get instructed to all things to do. And then we get to Pasuk Yutet, is where we continue on with the narrative. So over here is this short part of Moshe saying, I can't do this by myself, and then the solution. Now, the only thing which is interesting here is that we recall Moshe saying, I can't do this in Sefer Bamidbar, but this entire solution is not the solution which we found in Bamidbar. Rather, it's the solution that we find by Yitro. So it's the right problem, wrong solution, and that's what we need to try. Now, again, anybody who read these verses carefully should have identified the Yitro theme over here. It's clear, it's blatant. If you need to see it a little bit, turn to source number 3. Vayihimi Mocharat, this is all the way back in Shmot, Perek Yudchet. The thing about Perek Yudchet is, as opposed to the day that they leave Mount Sinai, Perek Yudchet begins, Perek Yudtet begins when they arrive at Har Sinai. So this is after the Mechemet Amalek. In Perek Yudtet, which is the following chapter, this is B'chodesh Shlishi Tzeif B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Yitzrayim B'yom HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai. So in Perek Yudtet it says they arrived at Har Sinai. On the other hand, when Yitro arrives, it says that Yitro, this is the beginning of Yudchet, which is not in front of you. Yitro hears about all the things that God had did. There's an argument what he had heard. Even though it says, Ki Yotzi Hashem Yisrael Mimitzrayim, he takes Moshe's wife, Tzipporah, and the children, because they had all been sent away. Vayavo Yitro Choten Moshe Uvnei Yishto El Moshe El HaMidbar Asher Hu Chonesham Har Elokim. He takes them to the desert where they were parked by Har Elokim. Okay, so that sounds quite clear. Only thing which is interesting is that it's only in the next chapter we're told that they arrive there. So if you heard my father say, but we generally work with the principle of Ein Mukdam V'Mukhar, so let's just again now go back to source 3 and take a look. Yitro notices, now Yitro was a Kohen. Kohen can either mean a religious function or it can be a political function. It could be a leader. I believe that, if I recall correctly, that Onkelos, whenever he talks about him, he takes away the religious side of it. I think he uses the word Rav Ravei. He's the leader as opposed to the priest. Source 3, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'yimi Macharat, and the next day, this is after they had a big party, celebrating perhaps that they see each other again, perhaps celebrating the leaving of Egypt and the survival. V'yeshev Moshe l'shpot ha'am. Moshe sits down to judge the people. V'moda ama Moshe min aboka ad ha'arev. And people are there all day long. V'yara chotein Moshe et kol asher hu oseh la'am. And he sees everything which is going on. V'yomim ha'davar zeh sh'ata oseh la'am. Madu ata yoshev levadecha. V'kol la'am nitzav alachem min aboka ad ha'arev. Why are you doing this by yourself? V'yomim Moshe l'chotno ki yavo elai ha'am l'drosh elokim. Because the people are here and they're searching for God. Which, by the way, is a very good answer. Nonetheless, and Moshe then explains, and when there's a problem, I go and I instruct them. It's not good. And then he says, you're going to burn out. Rather, the proper thing to do is to get other people involved in this. And then the idea comes up of, if you let your eyes wander a little bit, and it continues, and he chooses people, goes on and says, and the difficult things were to Moshe. So I'll say it again without going into too much detail, the description that we have at the beginning of Devarim is not the description that we have in Balotcha. The complaint that we have of Moshe is the complaint of Balotcha, but the solution is the solution from Shmot, and that's where our confusion is. Should I say that again, or that's clear? I'll say it again. No, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. Moshe says, I can't do this by myself. That's in Parshat Balotcha and Sefer Bamidbar. The solution then was to bring 70 elders and to create a judiciary. And that's in Balotcha. That's the solution there. That's the solution. Not necessarily, but 70 elders are being created. We will later find out that they are a judiciary. When we look at the words that Moshe says now in Devarim, when he tells over what happened, instead of telling us about the 70 elders, Moshe goes back and tells us about the narrative in Sefer Shmot, in Parshat Yitro, about all of these other people who are there as a judiciary, but he doesn't speak about the 70, he speaks about the people in terms of the thousands and the hundreds and the 50s and so on, and the difficult questions will come to me and so on. But that's all the Yitro story. So what happens over here, it looks like, you know, if you want to say confusion, it looks like, you know, there's two different stories being brought together. Now, some of us are getting old, right? You're complaining about getting old. Some of us are getting old, and we do this, right? But this is Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Moshe Rabbeinu doing this as far as God told him to do this, as we saw in the very beginning. This is not going deep into the speech. This is really the starting point about Moshe saying, listen, this is what happened. And he's telling us something what happened, and we're just looking at this and saying, hold it. I didn't realize that those two stories are related to one another. How could those two stories be related to one another? So, one thing that I will say, just in support of the whole Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar, that means, in English, the question is, does the Torah have chronological integrity, or does the Torah not have chronological integrity? Does the Torah tell over what happened in the order that things transpired, or does it not? Now, those of us who've been doing this for a while know the following. There are certain commentaries like Rashi and Ibn Ezra, Rashbam, have no problem any time that there's some kind of a difficulty pulling out of their sleeve, their magic sleeve, up their sleeve. They always have this, it's not a rabbit, but what do they have up their sleeve? They have this, Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar. It's always a solution for all kinds of things. Okay, this didn't happen in the right order, and that's just the way that was being told for whatever the reason may be. And that's a solution. Who's the one who generally doesn't like to use that as a solution? The Ramban. Good. The Ramban says, no, the Torah is being told over in its proper order. And as we saw throughout Sefer Shemot, throughout the book of Shemot, this was something which was a consistent argument between the Ramban and Rashi. And he takes Rashi to task for it many, many times because he doesn't like the solution. He doesn't believe it's a true solution. Now, there is one time that the Gemara really goes into this with a great deal of detail, which I'm not going to do now. I'm just going to mention it in passing. And that has to do with the events that transpired immediately when we left Har Sinai, which means, and it goes around those two verses of Vayehi ben Tzar Aharon, which were written, as it were, in parentheses. There the Torah tells us that things are not in their proper sequence because there were a number of bad things that happened one after the other, and the Torah didn't want all the bad things. One episode, a second episode, a third episode, you have to break things up a little bit, and we're told over there that things are not really being told in the proper way. Again, you do not have this in front of you because we always have to do some triage. But the Gemara in Shabbat, in Kutet Vav, is mainly talking about these two verses, Vayehi ben Tzar, and talking about the brackets, and it says, well, it really had to break it up. So what did it have to break up? So I'm just going to read, I want to read to you one or two lines, and it says, V'lama nichtav kan, why is it written here? Kedei lafsik bin paranut rishona leparanut shnia, in order to break up between the first, one negative thing and a second negative thing. Paranut shnia mahi, what's the second bad thing that happened? Vayehi am ki mitonanim, the people started to complain. People starting to complain is what generates Moshe's response. Paranut rishona, what's the first terrible thing? Vayesumi har Hashem, when they left the mountain of God. I just want to point out that those two episodes are exactly what's being presented over here. Leaving the mountain of God on the one hand, and then the complaining, which then causes Moshe's response. That's exactly the issues over here. Okay, we'll skip the rest. By the way, over here is where Tosfot tells us that why is leaving Sinai a bad thing? So we all remember the Midrash that Tosfot quotes, that they left like kids leaving school. I actually found this in the Gemara. It's not in the Bavli. I found it in the Yerushalmi. The only thing is Yerushalmi uses a different language. It uses the Yerushalmi dialect, but it is in Yerushalmi in Ta'anit. And it says, "Vayisumi Harashem derech shloshet yamim." Rav Zacharia Chatneya de Rab Levi says it's a mashal. La'ilim talia, talia means little kids. To these little kids, dimitfane min sifra, who leave school, benafkin lo b'sifrei, and they go and they run out of the school. And it says, "Bo bayom nitavu ta'ava," and that's the day that they started to have this ta'ava, which means the Yerushalmi over here, which does use the metaphor that they left Har Sinai, like the kids running away from school, says that directly leads to this issue of the ta'ava, and these things are related, and we'll leave it at that. So they leave Har Sinai. This is where Moshe breaks down. These two things are next to one another, and we're told specifically, but we don't have chronological integrity here. Things are put in the middle in order to make, to break things up a little bit. Okay. Let's take a look at the one person who we're not supposed to look at. And who's that? The Ramban. In source number 5. Now, the Ramban is explaining the language. And you know what the Ramban does? He did exactly what we did. He noticed what we did. He noticed that the complaint of Moshe, or the solution at least, is the solution found in Parsha Yitro. And without blinking an eye, he says, yeah, this is coming from Yitro. So let's be careful and let's read. The Ramban in source 5. V'om lechem be'eta hi le'mor. And I said to you at that time, kodem sh'amar lanu Hashem b'chorev rav lechem shevet bahar hazeh. Kodem sh'amar lanu Hashem b'chorev rav lechem shevet bahar hazeh. Before they left. Al data omrim kodem matan Torah by Yitro. And that goes according to those who say that Yitro came before matan Torah. By the way, who is one of those people that say that he came before? Yes, but who's one of those people? The Ramban. It's before Matan Torah. Why? Because it's chapter 18 as opposed to chapter 20. So he is one of those people as well. V'tam be'etahi b'shevtenu b'chorev. V'lizkir ze b'kan lomar. Why is it being told here? Hine kibalnu et ha'Torah v'yu alechem shoftim v'shotrim l'shpot l'anig etchem v'hine hayinu muchanim u'muzmanim l'vo ba'aretz v'nasa michorev l'daglenu im shofteinu v'zikneinu v'tekorvun elai kulchem im chachmeinu v'rasheichem u'vikashtem raglim v'netkalkela enyan. So somehow the Ramban just now weaved through together this part of the story. You all came over to me, right, together with the meraglim. But how did he just now do that? By the way, it gets better. Vitam, Pasuk Yud Bet, Vitam, Tirchachem u'masem rivchem, that's what Moshe is saying, I can't deal with all of your quarrels and so on. Al derech apshat, Ramaz Moshe Rabbeinu lahem, shloshet devrim, sh'amar li Yitro, shahayuhu oselaam. This refers to the three things that Yitro had brought up. V'his kirun li Yisrael b'remez, amar tirchachem, and so on. I'm going to skip a little bit over here, but just notice that he mentioned him. And then I instructed you all the things to do. Top of page 3, which means these are all the laws. Now, this is not getting clear yet, but yes, everything being said over here is Eitzat Yitro. This is Yitro. Haya atal la'am mul alokim shetapel leim be'et tzoratam v'yizharta tem et chukim v'tatarot shimod atorah. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he's saying this is the Eitzah of Yitro, which means I don't want to give grades over here, but he correctly points out that everything in this section over here is the part from Yitro. Now, if you're the Ramban, you may have a little bit of a problem over here. What is your problem? How can you say that all this is Yitro because it's completely out of sequence then? So let's just pause for a second, and I want you to see how that was a little confusing. Don't worry, I'll make it much clearer right now. Let's look how easy the world is if you're the Rashbam. The Rashbam is going to comment on Yitro in Sefer Shmot, Parsha Yitro, source number 6. Yitro said, right, l'shpote ta'am, afilu im ba Yitro kodo matan Torah, even if Yitro came before matan Torah, there were still dini momonot hayalahem ma'olam. Af ki am rabotenu ki b'maran itnu lem dinim kidichtiv sam shamo sham sam l'choku mishpat. So he says, if you want, because again, I want you to just think a second. Yitro comes and sees Moshe judging all day. What is he judging them based on? It's before Matan Torah. Matan Torah is chapter 20. This is 18. What are they arguing about all day? They don't have law yet to argue about. So what does he say? Okay, you can say it's the law that they received earlier, the law that they received at Marah. But then he says, V'nir'in advarim sha'achar Matan Torah ba. He goes, but it seems to me that this all took place after Matan Torah. Now, if you were the Rashbam, how easy was that? You just say it. I think he came afterwards. Okay, that's all. There's no... You could sleep okay at night. There's no problem. This is afterwards. And right. And if it's afterwards, then it solves all kinds of problems, as we'll see. Look at source number 7. Hadar Zekeinim al HaTorah. This is one of the Balei HaTosfot, which, by the way, is the same school as the Rashbam. The Rashbam, those of you who don't remember, is Rashi's grandson and one of the Balei HaTosfot. He had a very famous brother named Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Source number 7, Vayihimi Machrat, Machrat Yom HaKippurim. Right, because it says in the next day, that's, if you don't remember that, that was back in source number 3, Vayihimi Machrat, on the next day. So the next day of what? Which next day? Now what did Rashi say the next day is? Rashi said the next day is the day after Yom Kippur. By the way, how Yom Kippur became the day that's the next day, of course it's the day after Yom Kippur for Rashi. Why? Because when did Moshe get the Torah? He gets the Torah, right? He goes up, gets the Luchot, he comes down, they're making the Egel, he has to go up again, he prays, he goes up again, Rosh Chodesh Elul, he comes down in Yom Kippur. When's the first time that Moshe could possibly have used any of the Torah? The day after Yom Kippur. So Rashi says, V'yimachrat, the day after Yom Kippur, which means Rashi has no problem either. Now you realize the Rashbam learned well on Rashi's knee, even though he argues with him occasionally. But he learned well on his knee, and he has no problem with moving things around. So therefore, Rashi is claiming that chapter 18 actually transpired after chapter 20. Matter of fact, it happens after chapter 33, which is when Moshe comes down. So that when I said about chronological integrity, you sense about how difficult that may be. Mimachrat Yom HaKippurim, umimachrat Ridato minahar ve'al karchach iyav shalomar el mimachrat Yom Kippur sherei kodem matan Torah iyav shalomar v'hodati et chukei Elokim ve'toratav. When it says that when Moshe is saying, well, the purpose over here is I need to teach the people the law, you don't have the law yet. Of course, it has to be later. Umishenit nata ad Yom Kippurim lo yashav Moshe l'shpot. And from when it was given, Moshe had no time to sit. He does the whole math for you. Yudayin b'Tamuz shavar haluchot. He breaks the luchot on the 17th of Tamuz. Yom harishonim, and he prays for 40 days. U'machrad elav hashkama v'shasham shmonim yom. V'red b'yom Yom Kippur. And he comes down in Yom Kippur. Ve'ein parsha zuk tava kiseder. And this parsha is not written with chronological integrity. Shelo nemra ad shana shniya. It did not happen until the second year. Because it says at the very end, don't move from this source, but look at the very end of source 3, the last pasuk, Vayishlach Moshe etchotno vayelech lo el artzo. And Moshe sent Yitro away, and he went back home. Now, back in the middle of the Hadar Zekeinim, it says Moshe sends him. Yishlach Moshe etchotno vayelech lo el artzo. Umatzinu b'masa hadigalim, but we found later on by the masa hadigalim. And what is he talking about? The masa hadigalim back in Parshat Bahalotcha. I hope you're all now completely confused. Umatzinu b'masa hadigalim sh'amale Moshe nosim anachnu. Okay, hold on over here. You're going to keep your one finger there. Go to source number 4. Elamase ben Israel. These are the travelings. Vayomer Moshe lechovav ben Ruel midyoni chotein Moshe nosim anachnu el makom. We're going to the place, and he says, "I'm not going. I'm going back home." Vayomer alma tazov otanu. Don't leave us. And what happens after that? Vayokit lechem manu v'yatov ahu asher yitiv Hashem manu v'yitiv lach. By the way, we're not told how it ends. Lamed gimel vayisu mihar Hashem derech shloshet yamim. And then what happens next? That's when the cloud picks up and they travel for 3 days. But what's the only problem with that is that we know that that may not be in the right place. And what happens right after that? Vayehi ben Sohar Aron, which we know may not be in the right place. So now we know that's not in the right place, and that's not in the right place. So when exactly did this happen? Go back to the middle of Tosfot now that we were reading, the Hadar Zakenim. Umatzinu b'masad degalim shom lemoshin osim anachnu l'makom asher al tazovol tanu. Ve'ein ze kodem matan Torah. That didn't happen before matan Torah. But what's his problem? He, by the way, this is assuming that Chovav and Yitro are the same. You can argue on this point. So assuming they're the same, so what happens at the end of the narrative in chapter 18 in Shemot? He leaves. So how is he still there to talk to? So again, two different people, one solution. He went, he came back, he went, he came back, another solution. But what's he saying? Theory of conservation of characters. It's the same guy. They have this conversation about leaving. He leaves. It's told in Shmot Perek Yud Chet, but it didn't happen until Bamidbar. Well, it's written also in Bamidbar chapter Yud. And let's continue over here, because I hope that just got interesting. And if he left then, we never saw him come back. Vimtomar. Now, if you're going to say that it's Yitro Chovav, he says, ignore this, they're the same guy. Because it says, what does it say in the previous verse? That Yitro comes and they have a big party. What's the next day? What does Rashi say? The day after Yom Kippur. What was the previous day? Yom Kippur. So you're saying they had a big party and they were eating on Yom Kippur? He goes, I don't think so. By the way, this is not a good question. It's not a good question. It sounds like a good question, but it's not a good question. The reason it's not a good question is because we don't know Yom Kippur as a day of forgiveness until the following year. But still, it's not a bad point because Moshe was up on the mountain all day. I don't know exactly what time he comes down. He comes down, he says, Yitro, oh, let's have a party. Again, it doesn't ring true. Doesn't ring true, and he says the heichachlu b'yom kippur v'lo kfar natara. They already received the Torah, and therefore he's assuming they've received the Torah. Yom Kippur is already written in the Torah. How could they be eating on Yom Kippur? Now I'm going to say this again. There, it's interesting, but there's better things to say. And finally, a couple lines down, where you see it's underlined, it says yesh lomar de ein mukdam u'muchar b'tara del korchach ein kamakom parshazu. Kidipirish, I believe that's supposed to be Hakuntras. Rather, what you have to say is that the stories in the Torah are not told in their proper sequence. So, as I said, for the Rashbam and for the Hadar Zakenim, these are easy ways out. Who is it going to be even easier for? The Ibn Ezra. Source number 8, again explaining on Parsha Yitro, Lafida Tishalo Barak B'Shana HaShniya, Achar Shukam HaMishkan. When does Yitro show up? The second year. This, just because it's written chapter 18, don't get fooled. This happened much later. Because it says they brought offerings. Where in the world they bring offerings? What mizbeach do they have beforehand? And never mentioned beforehand there was a mizbeach. Which, by the way, is only partially true. There was a mizbeach. There was a mizbeach at Sinai. And it says that you're going to teach them the Torah, but they didn't have the Torah yet. So again, the Ibn Ezra is completely convinced this is after Matan Torah. And then he goes back to the other narrative, and he says, again, same kind of approach. This is the same person. But now I just want you to follow what he does next. Umosha Amarlo, ki Alkenya data chonatenu bamidbar. And therefore, he's taking the two Yitro Chovav narratives and he is weaving them together and saying, no, this is really the same point. V'yadanu ki Yisrael amdu b'midbar Sinai kimo shana. V'nei divrei Moshe yochichu shamar b'parshat eil dvarim Hashem Elokeinu diberi leinu b'chorev l'mar rav lachem shevet b'har hazeh penu v'su'u lachem. V'nei zeh hazman haya karov l'mas'am. V'hu amar v'amar lechem v'etahi le'mar locha levadi yaseit etchem ki Hashem herbe etchem. What did the Ibn Ezra do? Exactly what I pointed out in the beginning. What was it? That he's using Sefer Dvarim to interpret and to explain the perhaps difficulty between the two Yitro narratives. And he's saying, well, look how Moshe explains it. Moshe says, at that time is when I had difficulty, and it was at that time that this was suggested. So we now know that Moshe just now, forget about the Rashbam, forget about the Ramban, forget about everybody. Moshe just now told you pshat in when this story took place. At that time, when leaving Har Sinai, is when the story of Yitro took place. Moshe just told you this. So the Ibn Ezra over here, again, now I hope you appreciate what the Ibn Ezra did. He used our verses to explain. Again, we could have turned that into a question, which I started with. Hold it. Moshe says over here, but he's bringing the thing from Yitro. So what he's saying? Yes. Which means that's when the Yitro story took place. So how do I know this? Because this is Moshe's explanation. Okay? And then he says something else which is interesting. Zot haita itzat Yitro shenatan lo mimachrat ba'olam ad bar Sinai, the day after he got to Sinai. Okay, namar Moshe lechavav shehu Yitro kemoshe pirashnu nosim anachnu. V'uishiv lo eilech. He goes, come join you. He goes, I'm not joining you. Which means he takes the two narratives, weaves them together, solves problems with one with solutions in the other, and says this is one story. He then says one more thing, and I'm going to tell you why it's here, which is, I guess, something which may bother us. Why is it here? Very interesting comment of the Ibn Ezra. Just in case you think the Torah's perspective is that all non-Jews are bad, right? Look what Egypt did. Look what Amalek does. He goes, okay, here's a bad non-Jew and here's a good non-Jew. This is what Amalek did and this is what Yitro did. Amalek tries to destroy it. Yitro tries to help us. And he says the reason it's placed here is that you shouldn't have a confused philosophy in terms of the way that Jews look at non-Jews, and that's why it's placed over here. So as I said, it's very interesting why the story of Yitro comes immediately after the story of the Battle of Amalek. Amalek attacked us, and Yitro tries to help us. Okay, now, I still have to get back to the Ramban. How in the world did the Ramban just do this? So the Ramban actually had one more thing that he says. He says, you can never say, well, we'll say it the other way around. Torah always has chronological integrity. Chronological integrity. What is going to be the times that it doesn't? If it tells you. There's sometimes it tells you. There's sometimes dates are given, and it's, you know, it's a date which already has passed, so therefore that's when the Torah is telling you that this is not the correct sequence. So let's take a look at the Ramban now in source number 12. V'hi mimachrat. Mimachrat hayom sha'asu zeh sheniskar yashav Moshe l'shpot et ha'am. V'amru b'mechilta mimachrat yom ha'kippurim. V'ein datam lo moshe mimachrat remez li yom ha'kippurim, ki yom ha'kippurim lo niskar b'chtav sheyemar alav mimachrat. He goes, there is an opinion at Yom Kippur. He goes, can't really mean that because there was no Yom Kippur yet. V'gam kein ein ha'kavana sheyem machrato mamash. He says it doesn't mean literally the next day. So I want to pause for a second. The word machar in the Torah, what does it mean? It's used in two different ways. One literally means the next day, and sometimes it means the future. Take a look for a second in source number 9, which is from Sefer Devarim. Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemor. When your son asks you, are you going to translate that as tomorrow, the next day, or are you going to translate that as in the future? So v'yihimi macharat, the Ramban just now told us, it doesn't mean the next day. Macharat means that it happened at some subsequent point. It happened at some point in the future. So even though the Ramban usually will not say that things are out of order, here, the Torah said black and white, things are out of order. And when the Torah says in black and white, things are out of order, the Ramban is going to agree that things are out of order. And he goes back, because it couldn't have been that they ate on Yom Kippur. And there was no Yom Kippur the first year. Meaning he's saying even Chazal, when they say it was after Yom Kippur, could not have meant in the first year. It has to be a subsequent, a later occurrence. And then he finally says towards the end, וגם אי אפשר שיהיה בשנה שנייה ביום הכיפורים, כי בנסוע הדגלים אמר, כי אמא הלצי ואומרתו אליך. Because he says, no, couldn't be then, because Yitro says, I'm going to go back home, and he doesn't say that, it's not found till Sefer Bamidbar. אבל הכוונה לברית הזו, לא אומר שזה אחר יום הכיפורים, כי אין להם יום פנוי למשמעת ביום בורם להר סיני, עד אחר יום הכיפורים, של שנה ראשונה הזאת, no, it had to be later, which means, just notice what the Ramban did. He's making reference to that same Yitro story later on. Now, I want to pause a second and try to put everything back together and to see, you know, where we are. There are times in the Torah, and one example is what you mentioned before. There are times in the Torah that we get part of a story here, we get part of a story there, and we need to put them together in order to get the whole story. One example, which we've done in other years in this parsha, is to try to understand the Chet HaMeraglim, reading the narrative in Shlach and reading the narrative in Dvarim and putting them two together and then getting one larger picture. What we realize today is before we got to the Meraglim, there was another point. And the other point was an interesting point because it was the point of Moshe saying that there needs to be other leadership. That's really what the topic is. There needs to be other leadership. Ultimately, the breakdown in terms of the Meraglim was a breakdown of leadership. It's these other people that he turned to were people that could not fulfill what they were supposed to fulfill. If we go back now, and just to realize what the Rashbam and the Izb and Ezra and even the Ramban did, is that they took the two stories and they put, which two stories? The Yitro story and the Chovav story, which means the Yitro story, they're trying to push over the Chovav. By the way, we have an issue with location, but the Chovav story, what is, when does it happen? It happens before they leave, which means this is at Har Sinai still. Which means, essentially, the story is mentioned in two places, half of it in one, half of the other, but it happens, it's one story. One is mentioned when they get to Har Sinai, one is mentioned when they leave Har Sinai, it's the same story. What is it that he suggests that story is that Moshe is going to need help? When Moshe says, but I need help and so on, which, by the way, this is the difficulty in what I'm saying, that sounds that it's only a result of what happens in terms of that breakdown that takes place in terms of when the people want meat. It seems to be that what they're pointing to is that this is part of that same story. Now, at which point precisely does Yitro leave? At which point precisely does Yitro give this advice? What we then have to do, as I said, this is more difficult, is then put together the two stories as well in terms of the help, that there's two types of help. One type of help is going to be the 70 elders. The other type of help is going to be is all of these other judges, which is going to be, which means instead of having a situation that everything is standing on one person, now we have a whole different type of leadership which is going to be there, but nonetheless, what is Moshe now pointing at, and that's going to go through the whole rest of this week's Parsha, and what's that? But when the leadership is given to other people, there is a complete breakdown, and instead of the other people, namely the spies, the leaders, people of great significance, instead of leading the way to the lands of Israel, you ended up failing in terms of your leadership. But Moshe starts that whole story with the Yitro story. He starts that whole story with saying, I can't do everything. And therefore, I can't do everything. Other people have to step up. But what's the continuation of that story? Is that other people didn't step up. But now we realize that there was a whole introduction to that. And again, if our minds play tricks on us, and all that we remember that the first chapter was about, again, a retrospective on the story of the spies. It's not. It's the story of the spies, but there is another story being told here as well, and that is the attempt that Moshe has in order to delegate authority, in order to have other people involved, because ultimately the whole thing can't stand on one person. And that's really ultimately going to be what happens, that the other people don't step up in the way that they were supposed to. So those of you who are looking around today as well and saying, well, we need more leadership, we need better leadership, or those of you saying that Moshe wasn't a good leader and such things, so on and so forth, it doesn't seem to be that that's exactly the issue that goes on, but the issue of leadership is the issue which Moshe is pointing at over here.